This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "What shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. This is the gospel of our Lord. Now you may be seated. We all know that something new can become a fad or the latest new sensation. If this new thing takes off, a lot of people don't want to feel left out, so they join in, whether they really like it or not. It's human nature to want to be part of something that's either big or at least seems big. It's been a while now, and maybe I'm dating myself here, but when the TV program Seinfeld first hit the airwaves, the show created one of those legendary buzzes. It was the newest thing on television, and the show became a sensation and a half. Everybody was talking about it. The late night comedians and even the comic strips were going on about the new program. I was in Okinawa at the time, and the military TV system was running the show. And the men in my unit were talking it up too, even way over there. You couldn't get away from the Seinfeld hype, because it was a new thing, and everyone wanted to be a part of it. Now, since human nature hasn't changed that much, it's no wonder that John the Baptist drew large crowds. Everybody was going out to hear John preach. Matthew said in Matthew 3:5, "Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him." The use of the word "all" here is a trendy like everybody. The crowds were absolutely huge. We know pretty well that almost every last person did not go out to see John. But it's a buzzword. Everybody's doing it. When you were a kid, did you use that on your mom or your dad to try to get them to give you something? Everybody has one. Now, did everybody literally have one? No, but it was this everybody thing. So the crowds were out there thronging the River Jordan banks. But John wasn't fooled by the buzz. He wasn't taken in by this wave of apparent popularity. John knew that a lot of those folks were coming out into the desert just to be a part of the in crowd. Folks, we need to make sure that we are not taken in by the latest fads or trends, because some of them might not be very godly. And we don't want to be led astray just because we want to be part of the in crowd. because everybody's doing it. This is true in life, and this is also true in trends or fads in the church. John the Apostle warned us to make sure we test the spirits to make sure they're really of the Lord. That's sound advice, especially when we're talking about some new doctrinal trend, allegedly, or if there's some new hot preacher out there who shows up on the scene and everybody starts flocking to him because he's using all the latest buzzwords or his personality is really magnetic. Now, I'm aware that this almost sounds like I'm saying the people back then should have been wary of John the Baptist, and that's not the case. However, in John's case, thankfully, he was the real deal. We know this because Scripture forecast his coming, as we talked about last week. John actually started a trend, as it were, though, and it was a good one. It was the right message for the right time. It wasn't fashionable, to say the least, and it wasn't pop theology for sure. Because, in fact, John was preaching repentance. And we know how popular of a message that is, right? He pointed the way to Jesus. So John's crowds, if they were there for the right reasons, were a good thing. And they heard the right message. Again, though, John wasn't fooled by the massive crowds and the insatiable curiosity of the people. That's easy to figure out simply by what John had to say in verse 7. And this is definitely not part of Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. He said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" John was the real deal. Now let's take a lesson from John the Baptist. John knew who he was. John wasn't suffering from an identity crisis. He knew he was God's special messenger. He knew his role. He was even in better shape than those sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12:32, where it says, men who understood the times. John understood the times, but not only that, he understood what his purpose was. And he knew who he was. And folks, that's what we need to aspire to. Basically, to put it kind of in a slang term, we need to be comfortable in our own skin. Because we know who Jesus has called us to be. Everyone in this sanctuary today is called to serve the Lord in some way, to do something for Him. And it's because of this, when we know God's will and purpose for our lives, we will not be afraid to embrace it fully and do what's necessary. This was John's advantage, and it aided him in his mission because he wasn't afraid to tell it like it is. That's how he had the courage to tell those people they were like poisonous snakes. By the way, that's what a viper is a poisonous snake. He was so comfortable in his role and purpose that he did not hesitate to tell the truth. And when we are comfortable with who we are, we will also not be afraid to tell it like it is and to say what needs to be said, maybe with some diplomacy and tact, and as Paul exhorts, with love, but say what needs to be said and tell people what they need to hear. Now, John the Baptist didn't stop there. He went on to tell them they needed to repent, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. He's telling them to get their act together and to straighten up. He said to start living the life of someone who is a believer in the Lord. In other words, if they were coming to John to be baptized, they needed to repent, yield to the Lord, and start living the life of one who follows the Lord. Look at what John said next. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham to Abraham from these stones. What did John mean? At that time, the Jews knew they were God's chosen people. And it was a tendency of those folks to think that because they were descendants of Abraham by blood, that they were okay. John knew about the human condition and tendency for people to look at their social status, their family, or their class. He may not have known specifically about our present culture, but we can make this connection. John knew of our tendency to say, well, my dad is the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Or my mom's on the city council. Or my parents are the chair people of the local PTA, or PTO as they say around here, or whatever. We're tempted to use our family's status as a means to try to elevate ourselves over other people. The point here is that people will always try to do that, and they'll try to use their standing to get by or to get away with doing something that would likely get them in trouble otherwise. And again, John wasn't fooled. He simply meant, don't try to get away with silliness or sinfulness just because you're Abraham's child, because that won't do you any good. Our social status means absolutely nothing in the long run. John made that clear when he said that God could raise up descendants of Abraham from the rocks that were around them. What might John's actual point have been here? John is telling us that God is the giver of life, and God is the creator. The creation is his, and he can tear down or raise up as he wills. The Lord himself is the giver of the precious gift of life. For us, our focus must be on the reality and the truth that we are all created in the image of God, are we not? And the most important part of this discovery is whether or not we have come to terms with the reality that he beckons us to come into relationship with him. So do we willfully belong to him? And have we given him control? And are we really his? You see, for us, we can know that his words mean for us to be honest and truthful and don't take advantage of other people. If we have a changed heart, one that is changed by the Lord, we need to show it by how we live and act. You see, if he talks about those stones being made children of Abraham, we can move this over sort of like Ezekiel, when he wrote that God will take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God can change our lives from the inside out. That's what that means. He can raise up children from those stones, but at the same time, it means that he can take our hardened hearts and turn them soft, where we can love others as he loves us. And if we listen to John's words through the Lord, we can let the Lord have sway over our lives and live as John the Baptist, walking humbly in the sight of the Lord and living righteously before the face of our Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.